Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the fourth day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And I do believe we are joined by one of those sort that give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you. From the Trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 49 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 55 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's cooling on down. I knew it wasn't over. I knew it wasn't, but they're showing snow Friday and Saturday, so I'm not real happy about that. That being said, for your weather coast to coast, how are things today out there? Nazi Joyzy, J.D.
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet above sea level mean and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean, we currently have crappy weather. It's very dark and gray out there. In fact, on my grayscale, it's about an 8. It's pretty darn dark out there. In fact, it almost looks like it's twilight. You know, when the sun just goes down, but it's still a little bit of light. You know, that's the way it's been looking in mid-afternoon. Right now, we've got 50 degrees. That is our high. It is raining out there right now. It's also got that cold chill to the air on top of the rain. So it's just a pretty miserable day, the kind of day you just want to stay in and huddle with a cup of coffee.
Man, yeah, I hear you, brother. I'm tired of those days. I done huddled until I'm about a paraplegic from lack of locomotion, and I've drank enough coffee to float a battleship and thread a sewing machine while it's running.
As long as we don't have to hack your roots out from the couch, then you haven't been there too long.
Well, they're starting to get there. I'm here to tell you. Anyway,
so Henry, what do we got on the propaganda plate? Because there was a little give and take on the website today about taxes. One of Katie's pet projects right there.
Oh, absolutely. And, her and, it began with an article TC wrote and put on the site, or he wanted it put up. And, of course, we'll talk about anything. And the argument's gone back and forth about Pete Henderson. And fact is, I don't know Pete Henderson, never met the man. Katie has brought the cracking the code information to the site and to the broadcast. And
she's utilized the information herself. She has made that clear.
Yes, she has. And, I've got an alternate to it all. And we're going to get into this, and it'll be a good discussion. I've invited everybody, even Pete Henderson, if he wants to call in, come on up.
And people, let's keep it clean, professional, and let's not tempers fly too high.
Come on, John, we're in the trenches, and we'll be back after these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Everything you do. Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. Like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. And the argument that really got going on the site was that TC was insinuating that Pete Henderson might have written this book and be doing this for the government. And at TC, I invited him to show up. Are you there? No TC. No one can say, but you know, when I took into the study of law, like I said, I started with this, civil law in a nutshell, criminal law in a nutshell, the Uniform Commercial Code in a nutshell, right way, wrong way, back ways, law, and reading, case law, and all of this psychotic shit. And after 10 years of sifting through it, I came out with the common law. And a lot of that was due to a fella named, what the hell was his name? Oh man, I can't even remember his name anymore. Miller? Laura's going to help me with this any second now. David Miller. He wrote law procedures and sold them, did seminars. And when I joined the Constitution Rangers, that's what the Rangers were doing. They were implementing his law procedures, which were it is the common law. I mean, he had it in technical terms and in mathematics, but he didn't take it all the way. I mean, it was still, you know, trying to remove from the administrative, but it was correct. It was the correct way to write law. It was but you know, statutes, you know, Title 42, 1983, that was his pride, you know, that civil rights lawsuit. It ain't got a goddamn thing to do with civil rights. And after the beatings and the jailings, you know, we paid our dues to, just like DL, you know, she came up and she talked about what happened to her, you know, getting in with the people with the Republic of Texas, ended up going to jail with her baby nursing. And I mean, this is what happens to you when you fight. Every time. So when somebody comes up and says that, you know, if you do this, man, they're going to get you. They might. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be because you did anything wrong. It'll be because you did everything right. Is when they want to kill you. Is when you get it right. Is when they want to kill you. When they'll try to kill you, try to imprison you. And the bottom line here is, I mean, it's up to each individual. I mean, if you want to, I'm not suggesting that everybody go out and just get the forms as listed on the site and go and fill them out and get your money back. Hey, you got my word on it. It's cool. Nothing's going to happen to you. Can't say that. I don't think Pete Henderson can. The bottom line here is you, when I found the law, ever since I discovered exactly what it was, that's how I've lived. And it's got some bad side effects, because it's the truth in a world of lies, where the lies are taking care of parasites that are parasiting off the rest of the people through the lie. What you inherit when you are born as an American national belongs to you. Absolute. Nobody can touch it. The fruits of your labor belong to you. Absolute. Nobody can touch it. The only way any property, including the fruits of labor, of the income from labor, can be touched, that belong to an American national, can be touched, is through the procedures outlined in the Bill of Rights. It takes an American national in a common law court under common law jurisdiction with a damage or a complaint for redress for a wrong done. And it takes a jury, a common law jury under the common law, is the only authority that can remove any property from an American national. And the government, this the occupation, even the government that was supposed to be that isn't, cannot operate in that common law jurisdiction. When they sign on with the government, they leave that behind. Now, they can be brought into that jurisdiction. They can use that jurisdiction in their private lives. But in their public lives, as public servants, they cannot. They cannot, as agents of an entity, come into the common law, because the common law ain't about entities and contracts. It's about natural rights. And so, you know, push come to shove, no matter what else, you don't owe any income taxes. You can't. The government cannot take any of your property. They've never had any authority. They would have never pretended that they were going to have that authority. But then we do know that in the Anti-Federalist Papers, it was, Spike Timmons is going to come up here in a minute. In the Anti-Federalist Papers, it was all predicted what was coming down the pike. That there would one day be excise tax on your booze and on your food. Okay, hey man, I'm here. Okay, Spikey. I'm going to go ahead and bring Spike in, guys. Hang on one second, please. Spike Timmons. Add to group. I think is what I want to do here. Are you there, brother?
I sure am.
All righty. Thanks for joining us. We've got Spike Timmons from Hammering the New World Order. Just before we came up, I got to throw something up here. One segundo, please. Okay, I got to take this out. And I got to do this. This is so that my board will work right after bringing in another caller. Okay, da-da-da-da. Do that, and we're good. Yeah, I don't know if you've been listening to what I've been saying, Spike, but where we're at here is that all our property belongs to us, and that what we're living under here is a totalitarian military dictatorship that has it claimed authority to put injunctions on our rights, complete injunctions on every right. Under the war powers, they have removed our common law courts, and in doing so have removed the only access for an American national as a freeman to exercise those rights. Those rights are not in the right format for the admiralty jurisdiction. The two are like water and oil. They do not mix at any level. And until that injunction is removed, until we the people have our Bill of Rights, our common law courts back, there is no law. The administrative, the stuff that Pete Henderson has gone through. Now, I understand that, when people have to work. I mean, everybody should just quit working and starve to death when nobody will pick up a goddamn gun or a bat or anything and fight at this point. People have to survive. So when you go there, is Katie there? Katie?
I wanted to make a comment on your comment about quitting their jobs. Somebody said that the other day about this pedogate shit. Everybody needs to quit their jobs and go fight pedogate. Yeah, okay.
With what?
Exactly. Right, what?
I can't believe Katie ain't up here. But anyways, the question, only question I, Art, one of my closest bros, he was a tax protester in the 70s. He lost his house. He lost his, vintage cars. I mean, he worked at machine shops since he was a kid. And I mean, he had street rods, he had rail dragsters. I mean, he had like old cars that he'd, I mean, minted out. I mean, we got something in the background there.
Echo from the call-in line.
You really think so?
Sounds like it's coming from the call-in line.
It just showed
up.
Yeah,
that was me.
Oh, that was Katie.
I picked up the phone and the... anyway, yeah, it was me, but go ahead.
There you are. I had a question for you. Now, I was just talking about Art, you know, the fact that he had been a tax protester in the 70s, and he'd lost his home. But I'll tell you what, Art, he'll tell you right now. He goes, I was in the right, and it didn't matter. Just like when I went into the courts, I was in the right. Absolutely, they could not answer my filings. They answered him with violence, beatings, jailing. But that doesn't make it not right. Are we supposed to acquiesce because there's going to be a little trouble when we insert the truth?
No.
We cannot be that way. Katie, the question I had, you know, and what I, you know, this is, I haven't read the book. Katie sent me this book, Cracking the Code. I haven't even opened the book. I ain't had time yet. I just had it a couple of days. But, you know, Art and I, we've talked about this. I've known Art for probably about 20 years. And we've talked about, you know, his experience in fighting the income tax. And we went one time when we found something in some case law. So we went looking for forms and stuff. And it was kind of like what they're talking about at Lost Horizons. But what else? What the question that I have, Katie, when you sign a W-2 form, is that under penalty of perjury?
You know, it's been so long since I signed one, Henry.
Me too.
I'm not sure.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, originally when you go in, you know, you work for somebody, you sign that W-4, which then they issue a W-2.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no special tax forms. I mean, the 1040 and the 4852 specifically is a rebuttal instrument for the erroneous alleged information that the payee, the person you work for, they've taken that W-2 and issued that information to the government. So that 4852, it's a government form. It's not some special form, but that's the purpose of it, is to rebut the allegations that you earned federally taxable money.
Well,
it's not. Okay, go ahead.
Without, I've never looked at the book, Katie, but without looking at it, from what I know and what I understand, If that original form you filled out, if you do that under penalty of perjury, that's how they would come at you, because you would be changing the information. If it says at the bottom of that W-2, I signed this, I attested all the statements in this contract are correct under penalty of perjury, that's where I would see the problem. Now me, it wouldn't be a problem for me because I've never signed any document that had to do with my life. That I didn't put UD-UCC1-205-207, and I
right,
tell you,
right? So you're exercising the Uniform Commercial Code right there.
Well, I'm doing it under duress because I really don't
I
even want to do it.
Yes.
That's what the UD is about. I'm signing this under duress.
And I'm
citing the Uniform Commercial Code 1-205 through 207 deals with all rights reserved. If I
right.
haven't specifically set apart any part and agreed to it, I disagree with it automatically, no matter what. And this
correct.
Has, in past incidents, I tell you, I've smoked people on it. Because they've tried to bring up, I say, look, have you read that form? And you look down at the bottom of it, you see that UD, and then they go and look at it. And I get a call back in 5 minutes. Well, you know, we were, you know, apologizing. Because it's
right,
all
right,
done
right.
under contract. And if you do...
Yeah, okay, well...
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, number one, when you file a tax form, a 1040, 1040 EZ or whatever, I mean, if you're self-employed, you file whatever you file for a 1099 miscellaneous, you are signing under penalty of perjury that all the information you've declared is true according to your knowledge and beliefs. So, yeah, I mean, it's right there. So, W-2, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get here, is a conundrum. Now, if you sign the first form, when you go to work for the person under penalty of perjury, and then you come back and sign another form saying that that was a lie, that it wasn't true, aren't you accusing yourself of perjury?
Well, yeah, and like I said, Henry, I would have to do some research and find out. I mean, it's been several years since I've worked and actually filled out a W-4 to get that information return going, that which you know, you end up getting a W-2 at the end of the year, you know, around April, January or whatever it is, February.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I can't attest to that. I do not know. But, yeah, I don't know, to answer your question.
I believe the statement on that form is to the best of your knowledge.
Okay.
Which form is that? The W-4 or the W-2 spike?
The W-4 that you fill out, it says the above is true to the best of your knowledge.
Okay.
You didn't know that they were going to turn that in as wages and tips.
Well, that see that, okay. This is the only, you know, when Art and I were looking at it, like I said, we read some case law. He brought it, just some, I don't know, we used to do shit like that, just sit around and read stupid shit. But we went down and looked for the forms and looked at them and read them and everything, and that was the only flaw that I could see in it, is that it, from the beginning, if I was going to do it, I would just, nobody notices. I'll tell you what, I mean, you could sign 50 papers in different places over years, and nobody notices that little UD, UCC, 1-205-207. Nobody, they don't even look at it.
They did when I did it at the dentist.
Did they really?
Yeah, they said, what's this here all about? And I said, well, I reserve all rights, and if I disagree with anything, well, I just disagreed under duress.
Exactly.
Oh. They just looked at me like, wow.
But they can't. The bottom line is, anything that you're, I mean, you are forced and coerced into this shit. I mean, you want to starve to death? Or I have to work to eat.
That's it, Henry, is you can actually go back, and I've seen notices that people have actually given to the person they work with. I mean, the statutory term is employer, which has a specific statutory definition. Now, we use it all the time, but according to the code, you're not an employee, and nor are they an employer unless they, you know, are affiliated with the federal government. But anyway,
but they are,
send these
Katie.
Notices.
They are.
What's that?
Your employer, that employer who hands you that W-2 form, is working under license. Under that license, they are government agents by definition.
Well, yeah, agents. I understand that. I understand that. Well, anyway, once you read the book, you'll see, Henry. But the terminology and all like that, and we know they get us on words and stuff. Anyway.
I got to argue this. I mean, these are things that, like I said, I haven't even read it, but these are curiosities I have.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I do understand contract law.
And you'll see it. It's all made very, very clear. It all the muddiness goes away. You understand. But anyway, people file and they actually go to the person they're working for, and they're not federally connected. Okay, they're just, I don't know what they're doing. They're a dishwasher in a restaurant. Okay, that's just an example, or whatever. A doctor or whatever. Okay, so they say, look, you know, I'm issuing this notice, you know, and actually, there's criminal penalties that can be put upon these people that are, you know, having you sign these W-4s, and they're doing it. They have no freaking idea, just like so many other things. I mean, my husband worked for a little mom-and-pop business a couple years back. They had no idea. It's not like they're on the, you know, the take and they're in with the government. They have no idea, but just to try to keep their business running. They're following all this crap they know nothing about. But anyway, you can file that form with the person you work for and say, look, you know, stop taking, you know, quote unquote, you know, income out of my thing. And they can say, hey, your ass is fired. Or, well, what is this? I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly, Henry. Yeah, it's like you said, they have a conundrum. It's like, if you want to eat, I mean, sign the thing. But at the, you know, come April time, I mean, you file that form and go print it up off the computer. It's an IRS form. It's called 4852, and it's a rebuttal to the assumption that you are a government worker earning taxable income. That's what the form is for.
Oh, I understand, and I think, you know, that I know why it's there, because you can't replace something like the Bill of Rights. The common law is still law. It's on the books. It's never been repealed. But they have tried to replace it without repealing it. That's where this whole conundrum comes into action.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, when you know, like when I, if I was signing the W-2 or W-4 form, if I had to find myself in that position, it would definitely be under duress. And I would actually file that paper correcting it, and I'd get my money back. But if they came at me, the reason I signed under duress is because you're acting as a government agent, and you're asking me to waive rights. You know, and it's a condition of employment that I have to live. That would be my argument. It wouldn't be that your IRS code, your administrative losses, I would not fight it in administrative law. There's no win there. Now, they would probably, I'd end up doing a couple, 3 weeks in jail, but they would not get anything from me, I guarantee you. But I would not fight it within the administrative system. It would be, I would use that form because I had to try to correct the mistake. And I want my goddamn money I work for that belongs to me.
Yeah.
But my fight would be, you know, the thing is, I don't make enough money to pay taxes. I know everybody thinks I'm chasing caviar down with champagne, but I'm here to tell you I'm not. I live well into the poverty line. I don't pay no, I can't. I don't have no money. But if I got some money, if I had it actually in my hands, well, I'll tell you what, you pay hell getting it out of them, taking it away from me. I wouldn't let it happen. That would be mine. And you'd find out what word mine means.
Absolutely. And that's what's at stake, Henry, is people's property.
Yep.
I mean, it's all about property. And they are, by way of, I mean, they're not actually coming out and outright stealing it. I mean, you can't really put your finger on it. And you'll see it when you read the book. You can't really say they're stealing. But they know. I mean, there are the agents in there that are trained in, you know, CPA and all that crap. They're idiots, a lot of them. They don't know what they're doing. They've got a little cheat sheet, and they go, okay, let's see. Is this line filled out? This line filled out? This line? That's all they do. And I've seen, you know, I've seen documentation. Somebody actually confronted the – I posted it at the trenches. But anyway, they explained to them what income was. She says, I never heard that. And she says, oh, we don't study the – he says, well, haven't you read the IRS code and all? She, oh, no. We try to stay away from that. They just give us a cheat sheet. But they don't even know, but there are people that definitely know. They know what's going on, and we who don't know, whoever sat down and read the entire IRS code, I never had. All I did was file the forms because I didn't want the SWAT team coming to my house and killing me out of fear. That's why I did it. But now that I know the truth, it's like, wow.
Yeah, okay. But if that's what my whole point is. The fear better still be there, but you better have done it, not for the money, but because it was right. And because it's something you would stand on to the death.
That's right, exactly. And that's what Pete says. He says, people aren't doing this for the money. I mean, that's a consequence of standing up to the rule of law, if you even want to say there's any law in here, I mean, in this country. And because there's a lot at stake. And you know, he's not an idiot. I posted that thing about President Trump, you know, the letter, open letter to Trump. Nowhere in there did it say he voted for him. He's just saying, look, do what you said you're going to do. So these people are like, oh, he's an idiot. I never heard him say he voted for Trump. He never even indicated it in there. He's just pointing out things that, look, you promised this, you said this, and you're not doing it.
Well, we say that every day, but the correctness of the information is really the issue. Is it correct? I know it is. I looked these forms up a whole long time ago. And, I mean, people have known this for a whole long time.
Yeah. People have died over it.
Yes,
and a lot of them, they just say, F you, man, I'm not even filling the crap out. But the thing is there's already an information return sitting in the IRS claiming that you are a government worker because the person you work for had you sign a W-4. So you trace it all the way back. I mean, that's where it started. So I'm not filling this shit out. Well, number one, you're not getting your money back either.
Yep.
Because you're not filing a form that says, hey, look, I got to correct this here, that W-2. Yeah, that payee. Yeah, they sent it in. It's erroneous. I mean, you know, they're not affiliated with the federal government. So it's all there. And that's what it's there for. That's the thing is, I don't know. But I know people have died. And there's all this fear about the IRS and shit. It's like, it's time to get over it and be afraid. And you know what? If they do pop your ass in jail, go to jail.
There you
Fine, but keep standing up.
Goddamn right. And that's what the whole point here is. The reason that people are afraid is because people have cowered for so goddamn long. If everybody stands up and says, F you, what are they going to do? You outnumber them 1,000 to 1. But that
exactly.
It is getting past that. I mean, you have to, when you commit to it, when you commit to any kind of fight like that, it's to the wall. It's to the end. It's you. One of us is going down. You cannot half-ass just think that I'll take it this far. I'll just take a plea and run away from it. Or you didn't want to do it in the first place. If you are not standing up with the intent of fighting to the death, what are you standing up for? Because they will take it all the way. And no matter what the issue, no matter what the issue is that brings you, wherever your war is fought, I don't know where mine's going to be fought. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll jump back in and finish this off after we turn from our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty, protected through the generations. Now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who will answer cry for warriors? Who will be there to battle line? Who will lift up a prayer for courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves me. my all, no less for God. For freedom's call, and if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If I should die, watch over my family. My brothers shed no tears for me. I will be among the angels who've given all to keep all free. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. If my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1240 Pacific Time. That was Steve Voss with Sacred Ground. And it kind of fits with what we're talking about here. What exactly are you, you know, are you in it for? Are you in it for the, are you in it for the freedom and liberty, or just, you know, try to keep yourself safe and keep as much cash as you can, or, you know, what's your motivation? You know, when I first started from that, just, I've already fought this fight a whole goddamn long time. If I quit tomorrow, I've done my share, and plenty, more than anybody, except for maybe a handful like Mark Kornke. There are people who have, I mean, just, they've done so much. The song said, a few die so all can be free. A few sacrifice everything so a few can be free. And that's bullshit. It shouldn't have to be that way. It is the failure of the rest to stand with us that is the reason we have to die. When I first started the Trenches site, I mean, because I'm coming out, and I'm nobody was coming out and calling these bastards what they are. Nobody. Not to the extent I did. And I got there, man, you're going to get killed. They're going to kill you. They might. But by God, I'm going to tell the truth. And if they want to kill me for the truth, well, they're going to, I ain't just going to die for them. It ain't going to be easy. I aim to fight them. But if people just keep cowering back, you know, everybody is, I don't know, it's like boxing. They're, you know, dancing around, looking for the, they want that shot, man. Everybody wants that shot. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. And, you know, some people like myself have stepped up. You know, I've talked about it many times. You know, a group of people, I mean, everybody, yeah, this is right. This is absolutely right, absolutely right. And, but, you know, they're not learning it. They're counting on you to know it and you to do it for them. Anything like this we're talking about, this tax shit, you better be ready to stand up and argue it yourself. Are you you better be ready just to throw your gun up and do it. Fight your fight. If this is what our founders, I mean the true founders, our true forefathers, this is why the Bill of Rights and the common law is like it is. That's why we're individuals. They're supposed to run into a fucking war at every residence they come up to that they, without a warrant. Every time they try to take somebody's property, it's supposed to be a shootout. You're not supposed to let them take your property without that due process of law laid out in that Bill of Rights. That is your duty to your family, to your progeny, and to your country and your people. But people that, I mean, it's that comfort zone. I'll make it another day. And because everybody isn't standing up, it's hard for individuals to step up and just take it in the face. Because I'm here to tell you, I've experienced it. Everybody's until it comes to violence, everybody's just all for it. Shit, man, it'd be nice to be free. It'd be wonderful to not have anybody bothering me. When it comes time to stand up and go toe to toe on the issue, shit, you turn around, all you see is assholes and elbows, and you're left to fight 10. When you had them 20 to 10, you'll find yourself 1 to 20. It is, man, I tell you, when you find a truth, either you stand on that truth, I mean to the death, or what the hell does it matter if it's the truth or not? Anyways, you know, TC, you know, he was talking about, you know, the dangers of it. Hell yeah. But I'll tell you what, I mean, the fights I've been in that could have cost me, I mean, I've had attempts on my life. But I read it. I understood it. It was correct. It was my right. And nobody gets to take my rights from me. You can take my life, but you ain't taking my rights. Without them, what is life? Servitude. To somebody who's your lesser. Begging at the feet of your lessers. Begging for the scraps from your own table. I don't know exactly. Pete Henderson. I've never met the man. But if I read the documentations that said that the money had been taken from me, I could take it back. Like I said, I'd been signing all them forms. Every form I'd ever sign that wasn't a contract that I wrote myself would be signed under duress, and inserting my rights under the Uniform Commercial Code under contract, which it shouldn't even enter into our private contracts, people. It was never, like I said, if I wrote a contract myself or a contract between me and another party, and I have written such, I've written big frickin' contracts you people wouldn't believe, and I'll guarantee you they goddamn stood up absolute as they were written. They didn't had nothing but truth in them. Sworn truth, sworn testimony truth, and it wasn't in subject matter. It was written in absolute fact that could not be disputed, not even a little bit. And the people right around here will tell you, I've done this for them. The private contract, and it's more binding than any petty fogging that mobile concepti lawyer attorney contract you've ever seen in your life, because I know how to write. And it was something, you know, it's like we talked about up in Burns. When you're going to stand on something, when you're going to stand and make a fight, it's got to be clear what the hell you're fighting for. Had them, the Hannon people wanted help, it would have been very clear. It would have been a writ of mandamus that the people who came to Oregon would have been fighting for. And it wouldn't have been in no kill zone. So, the bottom line here is, I mean, it's up to, I mean, nobody, everybody's looking for somebody. They want to do something. But they want somebody else to take the responsibility for their actions if it fucks up. You got to believe in what you're doing. And then you'll have the strength and the courage to go forth and take it to the wall. Because you're right. Henry, go ahead, Katie.
That's right. Amen, man. You know, and like I said, when you sign that 1040 or 104, whatever it is you're filling out, and normally it's people are, you know, they're having their money's extracted out of ignorance. Okay, well, anyway, you're signing under penalty of perjury to the best of your knowledge and belief. Who has, and I understand it's not even based on the IRS code, but I mean, that does come into it. Who's read it? So do we know the IRS code? Do we know, I mean, you know, do we know who actually earns taxable income?
Then you shouldn't have signed it, Katie. I mean, if you did sign it, you better sign under duress. Because I don't understand none of this shit. I just need to work. I need some food.
Yeah, no. No, I understand now. So you know what? I can sign that paper and full well. Yeah, I'm signing it. To the best of my knowledge and belief, because I actually have knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the second form. Sign it. But I'm talking about the first form when you sign up, when you the voluntary tax you're letting them take out of your check. See, they're not even supposed to touch your money. Yet the problem here is when, say, a fellow owns a store. Now, he's got a business license through the county or the state or what might have you, but it all connects back to the federal government because the taxing authority is under the federal government. They're the only entity, remember, the federal anti-federalist papers that would have true authority to tax the people or to tax anything. But it was only the people through commerce of you know, interstate, international commerce. That was where the money was supposed to come from for the government. It was no such
thing. And even in Article 1, Section 9, you know, it says no capitation or direct tax, you know, unless it's apportioned among the states. So it's up to the states how they raise it. If the federal government needs money, it's to be apportioned. You pay $5, I pay $5, John pays $5. It's all equal. So you're not, and that was, you know, constitutional taxation. These guys weren't idiots. I mean, they didn't want to be, you know, hell, the king was taxing them. So they set something up, and I know we can say the Constitution's a bunch of crap, and yeah, I understand all that, but it's in there. So we can utilize it, but you can see it. So the federal income tax, and get the name, federal. It only applies to federal people that are, you know, dealing with the federal government. Period. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, I didn't see it. I've read it in the book or heard it on some interview with Pete. But anyway.
Well, when you get into the depths of the argument, though, Katie, when you are born, that birth certificate, when you see your name in all caps there, you are a dead corporation. And every corporation is an agent of the state. You are a.
I understand.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. So it's you know, and I've read, you know, lots of books, Straw Man, you know, How to Undo It and all like that. It's, I'd rather just fucking blow their ass away.
Absolutely.
Than, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Than entangle my entire life. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
You don't have
to.
No,
I'm just not.
I don't have to. I've never have. And I've always asserted my rights because I have the ninth article. I don't care what you're telling me I have to argue with. I don't have to. Nothing can exist that violates those rights. That's what the ninth article says. I will stand on that.
Absolutely. And you know, Henry, I've thought about that. I mean, we filed for 2015. We're going to, of course, file for 2016. We've got two amended forms that are ready to go. And I thought, I'm putting in here, look, I understand the code and the statutes and all the bullshit, if you will. I'm coming at them with the Bill of Rights, Article 9, right here.
Exactly.
Right here. And it's going in a cover letter. And I understand the depth and the absolute base for all this stuff. So, you know, not that you're accusing me of being all caught up in the, you know, all their bull crap. Not at all. I understand. They can't touch anything of mine. They have no authority.
No jurisdiction.
It's mere birthright.
They lack jurisdiction. That's the bottom
line.
They
lack jurisdiction. Absolutely. Federal income tax. Federal. Hear the name, people?
The federal government, by the founding documents, have authority in a 10-mile square. Period.
That's it. Period.
Anything else is go ahead, sorry.
Income is taxed on a corporation.
Well, exactly.
And therefore, they've got us classified, without us knowing it, as corporations.
No.
Fraud. But that's fraud.
Yes.
It is fraud.
Yeah.
It is fraud. But, again, I mean, I know. You
the bottom line here, this just clear as I can put it. Now, the bottom line here is the income tax. I mean, they're claiming that they can take property from you, real property from you. And the ninth article says that the Bill of Rights is the law. And the Bill of Rights says the only way property can be taken from you is through a common law court jurisdiction with a common law jury. And that is not how they're taking your property. Therefore, it is under color of law. And it is, it is fraudulent. No matter what else in the world, they cannot, the bottom line is they cannot, the ninth article says they can create no power through that Constitution, and all power flows down from that Constitution as the states were chartered under it. There is no separate power, and they try to claim these states' power, well, the states cannot have any power because their constitutions have to be written verbatim to the federal Constitution, and the Bill of Rights has to be attached. You can take no right from me. You can create no power to touch those rights. And that's really what the whole argument comes down to. And whether people are going to stand on that or not. And if you stand on it, you can't stand half-ass. You can't turn around and run when the fists start flying. You got to stand and fight if you mean it.
And you know, I think about too, Henry, when I hear, I mean, they bring in trillions of dollars from the American people. Mm-hmm. Trillions in income taxes.
Illegally.
And what's that?
Illegally.
Oh, illegally, but they're doing it because, you know, people aren't saying, hey, look, you know, I'm not, you know, I didn't have taxable income. Here it is. You can say, you know, whatever. Okay, but point is they're using that money to enslave us, our own resources, our money, our own property from the sweat of our brow, as well as our resources. So, you know what? I think about that, and I think, you guys, you're not getting another red cent out of me. Kill me! Before you get one more red cent.
And see, all it would take is just the most of the people to just say that. Mm-hmm. Say, F you, man, give it a go. You think you can kill all of us? The largest army on the planet Earth to ever exist? You think you can do it? Step up. And see, that would have been so easy to do at this last election, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But people are too goddamn, I mean, too worthless, let alone to go and do something like you're doing, Katie, but they're too goddamn worthless just not to vote. To do nothing, to say no, I'm just not going to do it. And they pretend that they're patriots, and they pretend that they're free. When they look around them every day, and it's right in their face that you're nothing. I mean, last week I just got back. I'd been all the bad broadcasts because I was up in Seattle. I was watching my grandchildren, my son and his wife, my son for his business. The company he works for, he had to go over to Germany. And so they went with him, and you know, I was worried about him going over there. I said, man, get you a knife when you get you something, a weapon. Because all the shit we've been hearing out there, bullshit, people. He went over there, he said it was frickin' paradise. He drove down the Autobahn 120 miles an hour drinking beer, and there ain't nothing against the law about it over there. This is how free we are in this country. You know what the...
It's such a fake. I mean, people, there's... Man, there's a quiet war. You don't see tanks rolling down your streets, but man, this is hell. This country is hell.
He said. He goes, you wouldn't believe it. And you know, that's a socialist country, Germany. They had a great time. He said, like he said, the people he worked with, all the breweries and stuff over there, them people live free, and they're under socialism, and we're supposed to be free under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Horse shit. We are one of the most oppressed people on this goddamn planet. You know what it's point, they just lowered it to 0.05 somewhere. So like one beer and you're considered too impaired to drive. Like I said, you know what what they can actually nail you with in Germany is 0.5. And you can drive around your car and drink just like you used to could when I was young in this goddamn country. You could drive around if you could drink a beer in your car. Why wouldn't you ever think about that? You know, even somebody in your car can't drink a beer with you. What's going on here? What the hell are you talking about? You're talking about micromanaging my life, you son of a bitches. And all they have to do is, I watched a thing. I can't think of the name of this movie, but it was about these communists back in the 30s that came to, I think they came down into California to the apple fields, infiltrating in and trying to, you know, raise their shit, you know, the communist shit. And it showed how they manipulated people, just like this mad moms against drunk drivers. You know, there have been people been driving drunk, people been riding drunk, people been shooting guns drunk. And you know, when you live in a free country, it's just a little bit dangerous. But you have the right to redress, and everybody is responsible for their actions under the common law. Compared to what the security they're selling you as they're taking your safety. I mean, you think you're secure under these son of a bitches? They're buying the bullets to blow your frickin' brains out.
Absolutely.
And people just go along with it. And like this propaganda coming out of Germany. My son never, he said he rode a train too between two cities. They rode a train and then rented a car when they got there. But even on the train, he said he never saw one Middle Easterner. He said he never saw nobody but white people. And he said it was a frickin' paradise.
Wow.
Yeah. I was blown away, too. You know, geez. Anyways, guys, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to roll across. Thanks for the conversation on that. And, keep it up, people. And decide if you stand your ground somewhere. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Yeah.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. And it's Turncoat Tuesday, the 4th day of April 2017. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And before we go to the tactical report, I forgot to thank Spike for coming up. Thank you, Spike. I heard him sign off. The reason I brought Spike up is because, I mean, in the the exchange of information or the ideas that were coming across the comment section this morning, I mean, Spike just, you know, he came up just like me. It's just, every goddamn thing's dangerous if you're doing what we're doing. And, you know, to go call somebody out, you better have some good, you better be able to prove it. Especially anybody who's doing anything. Because that's one thing I don't like to see is people who are actually doing something attacked by people who aren't doing shit. That being said, it is time for the tactical report with JD, U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. I guess it's time for me to do some shit. Let's get moving on our station identification. You are listening to the Tactical Report on The Word from the Trenches, which is broadcast on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other microbroadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online. Our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice, Ebola, anthrax, measles, avian flu, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, severe acute respiratory syndrome, bubonic plague, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever. And, of course, the latest and greatest Zionist Jew communist media, little darling, a Zika free lady, will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 22-00-29 and the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the tactical report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit *6 to manually unmute. All right. Notice how if you're looking at the major propaganda press, how they're just rolling into all kinds of distractions and nonsense. Now, they haven't fallen back on the epidemic or the pandemic gambit yet. Remember what I told you? Propaganda is just like a merry-go-round. It goes around and around. And if you stand there and look, if it's a big merry-go-round, but you stand there and look, eventually you'll see the same horse come around. Trust me. Well, that's the same thing with the pandemic and the epidemic gambit. It will come around again, but right now they're getting a little bit of mileage out of some other things. So right now they're just working on it in the think tanks. What are they going to call it? What's it going to do? How quickly is it going to kill you? How does it go from being something that was mild and didn't bother anybody to something that causes maybe something like babies' heads being completely born without brains or your testicles to shrink? You know, stuff like that. That's the kind of thing those think tanks think up. And it takes a little while for them to figure out the line of bullshit that they're going to weave into the storyline. So we got to give them just a little bit more time to come up with the newest, latest, and greatest epidemic. But it's on its way, so just wait. We're going to start off by going with our FTTPSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And remember, we were talking about facts. The whole top of the broadcast was about a fact that the government is not entitled, or, well, we have an enemy force and occupation, and that's part of the reason they can demand income taxes from you. And if you don't pay these voluntary, remember, that's right there in their own tax code. Voluntary means you can do or not do it your will. But if you don't voluntarily pay those voluntary taxes, you may find an M16 muzzle shoved up your nose. Well, the reason they can do that is because you're not paying taxes, you're paying tribute. But they don't want to call it tribute, because that might be too direct. And it might cause the people who are snoozing at the lunch bar to wake up. No, let the farm animals keep chewing their cud. And as long as they don't realize they're being bilked out of everything they own, they might not rise up against this enemy force and occupation. And here's another little interesting little fact that we always incorporate into our FTTPSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements, that, well, there is no country called Israel. In fact, Israel is the global terrorist system that is partly responsible for these so-called tax codes. Because remember, this was done under Zionism by Zionists. Remember, the Zionists started back there in the 1800s. They've been around for a long time. In fact, they were around before that. But they didn't call themselves Zionists, as far as we know. And this is coming right from their own clan, their own ilk, their own people, their own Jews, the Judeans. Remember, the people in the Bible, they weren't Jews. First off, the word J didn't exist, right? They didn't have the word J. They were called Hebrews. That is what we typically call Jew today. But being a Hebrew and being a Jew are two different things. Kind of like being, a Christian and an atheist. It's two different things. Well, same thing with being a Jew or being a Hebrew. So the Jews, these Zionists, which really came into that terminology, even though their actions preceded the invention of the word, they were around in the 1800s, especially the late 1800s. In fact, they had their first international Zionist Congress back there in, I think it was 1897, if I remember right, over there in good old Basel, Switzerland. You know, and this became their safe zone. This became their version of the Green Zone. So when they kicked off world wars, all the wealth that they had been stealing from all these different countries was kept someplace safe. Notice how Switzerland, which was right there in pretty much the middle of Europe and was surrounded by all these countries which were suffering all the privations and deprivations and destructions of global wars, was never invaded. Did you ever notice that? Never invaded, never bombed, never bothered, just left alone because, they declared themselves a neutral country. And, of course, the Nazis being the good old people they were, and the fascists being the good old people they were, and, of course, the Japanese being the good old people they were, Switzerland said they were neutral, so, we can't invade that country. Besides, all the Jews have their money there, and all the wealth they've stolen from the world. You see, Switzerland was their green zone, people. That was their safe zone, somewhere where they put all their loot to keep it safe while every other country was tearing itself a new asshole. Well, we let them know that we figured all this out through a little tiny global program called BDS, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, which means you don't give any kind of monetary, financial, moral, or political support to an international terrorist organization called Israel or anyone who supports international terrorism, like Starbucks Commie Coffee. Because remember, we had the owner, the CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, get up there in the national media and tell Americans, I'm going to piss in your face. I'm going to hire 10,000 of these foreign invaders to come in and steal your jobs, and then they're going to urinate in your coffee for you. So next time you have a cup of that Starbucks commie coffee and you get to experience that god-awful, bitter aftertaste, that's the urine from the foreign invader who just prepared you your coffee because you were stupid enough to go in there and pay for an overpriced cup of piss. Going on. Let's get into a couple of interesting articles. Let me see, do I want to do that first? No, let's get into it, because we were talking about this whole thing with the tax code. Now remember, the whole reason, this notion that you can't tax the results of your labor came from the notion of slavery. Remember, slavery's always been around. As soon as there was three people, two of them figured out how to enslave the third one. Slavery's always been around, people, and in fact, it still exists. In fact, the biggest slave nation on the planet is called China, you know, where you've got about 1.4 billion people, and probably about 1.1 billion of them are the slaves. That's a modern slave state. You got Africa. That's a modern slave state. You got Mexico, a semi-modern slave state. There's slave states here, people. Now, you don't see the old iron chains put on them and maybe not putting the lash across your back, although some countries I think they still do. No, they've got a better method. They've got electronic slavery, debt slavery, which is their favorite, by the way, because this is where you willingly submit and cooperate to the slavery. Now, why was slavery, why is income tax on your production, on your labor, not allowed? Because when you're a slave, the slave owner, your owner, is entitled to 100% of your production. Well, that's slavery. Whatever you produce doesn't belong to you, period. You're a slave. But what happens if you got a generous slave owner? Let's say he gives you 1%. He lets you keep 1% of what you produce. He gets 99%. Well, now you're a 99% slave, but you're still a slave. Well, maybe you've been there a while, and you've been a good little slave, and you've been calling him master every day, or officer, or judge. Something like that, one of those signs of acknowledgement of your slave owner. And so he says, you know what, slave? I'm going to let you keep 10% of your production. I get 90, I'm your slave owner, but you get 10. You're going to keep a whopping 10% of the drippings from my table. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty darn generous to go from 1% to 10%. But the fact is, you're still a 90% slave, aren't you? Well, as time goes on, and now it's become generational, and it's not just your kids, but your grandkids have been born into the system, and they've slowly bargained for some of their rights. And so now they get, say, 30% of what they make, they get to keep. The slave owner still gets 70, but you as the slave, you get 30% of it. Man, that is so much better than your great-grandfather who barely got 1%. But you're still a 70% slave, aren't you? You bet you are. Now let's take it down to 50%. Government takes 50%. I mean, the slave owner takes 50% of what you earn, and you get to keep half. But you're still a 50% slave, aren't you? You see, it doesn't matter what the numbers are, what the ratio is. It doesn't matter if at some point you get to 99% you get to keep, and your slave owner takes 1%, because the key word here is slavery. You're still a slave. It doesn't matter what the percentages are. If he takes any of it, you're a slave. That's the principle you got to look at. Not how much of it are you getting to keep because your slave owner feels like being a little generous. It's still slavery. Period. The fact that you willingly submit to it so you don't find that M16 muzzle pointed up your nose is irrelevant. It's still slavery. And slavery is always by coercion. Because nobody, absolutely nobody in human history says, man, they're not going to coerce me, they're not going to threaten me, and they're not going to bother me if I just stay here as a willing slave. So I bet I'll just stay here as a willing slave. That'll be a good deal. Because I like slavery. Nobody ever says that. Slavery is always done with coercion. In fact, that's one of the key indicators you're a slave. If you stop paying them the tribute, if you stop giving them the slave-required portion of your production, you find yourself being threatened, beaten, jailed, or killed. Well, isn't that exactly what happens if you don't pay those voluntary taxes? You betcha. Now, what was the mechanism for this? Now, Henry's talked about this, that right after the Civil War, they enacted the 14th Amendment, which is technically, they call it the 14th, but in fact, it's the Bill of Rights is the First Amendment. Then the 11th Amendment is actually the Second. The 12th is actually the Third. The 13th is actually the Fourth. And the 14th Amendment is technically the Fifth Amendment. Because remember, the Bill of Rights has 10 articles in it. It's not 10 amendments, 10 articles. So, but we're going to use their terminology just to reduce the confusion. They call it the 14th article, 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment declares that you have two levels of ownership. Both the federal and the state governments, they're your new slave masters. And how are you going to pay those slave masters? Oh, well, through a tax system, right? Because they got to get the tribute from you. They got to get the production from you somehow. Otherwise, they're not getting enriched, because that's what slavery is all about. The people who do nothing get enriched by the people who do all the work. That's what slavery is. Well, that was the legal framework to make us all slaves. Remember, it abolished slavery of the black people, but what the 14th Amendment did was make sure we were all slaves. It didn't abolish slavery. In fact, it instituted it population-wide. But there was a problem. You see, they didn't have quite the mechanism. They had the legal framework for declaring that we are all now slaves under the 14th Amendment because you got two levels of ownership, the state and federal government. But they didn't have the actual mechanism to really pull it off yet. But they had the legal framework. Remember, with slavery and, of course, with a usurpation of a country and the massacre of its population or a swath of its population, they always create the legal framework first. Everything they do is always legal. Remember that. Well, what was the actual mechanism that they used to enact slavery? Well, that didn't come till several decades later. In fact, it was finally done in 1933. Let me see if I got it here. I'm just looking at it. Let me pull the paperwork. I just want to make sure I got the exact date here. Executive Order 6102. Here it is, people. This was the mechanism that sealed the fate of every American. Because this is what took the legal framework of slavery, the 14th Amendment, back there in 1867, and now gave it teeth. Now gave them an instrumentality through which to exercise the purviews of slavery without calling it slavery. Ooh, remember what a good con is, right? A good con is they steal from you and get away with it. A great con is they steal from you, get away with it, and you don't realize you've been stolen from. That's what this is. That's the kind of slavery we're under. It's not just a con job, it's a great con job, because most people don't realize they're slaves. They participate willingly. Well, let's look at this. What was the instrumentality here of the slavery to that legal framework of the 14th Amendment? Executive Order 6102, which was signed by FDR, an international communist, also known as the Emergency Banking Act of March 9th, 1933. Remember, it was also an extension of the Trading with the Enemy Act. It's also where they declared in that time that, well, it's not just foreigners are enemies, but the American people are the enemies. How can you be an enemy in your own country? You can't. Unless, of course, you're under an enemy force and occupation. Well, remember, what were some of the signs, some of the indicators that we were now officially a slave state? Well, due to Executive Order 6102, which was proclaimed in the papers by April 5th, 1933, that on or before May 1st, 1933, and this was published in all the newspapers in the land here, on or before May 1st, 1933, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them are to be brought to a Federal Reserve branch or agency or to any member bank of the Federal Reserve system. And if you didn't turn in your gold or gold certificates, and remember, the gold certificate was just a paper contract on the gold. It wasn't even the gold. So you weren't even allowed to own the paper contract to the gold anymore. And if you didn't turn in your gold, slave, coolie, peon, chink, spick, nigger, white trash, slave, if you didn't turn in your gold, your wealth, guess what? It was a $10,000 fine. And that's back there in 1933. So that would be equal to about a $200,000, $250,000 fine today. Or maybe they're just going to throw you in jail for 10 years. Or both. That's right. Because that's what slavery is all about, isn't it? Coercion. You see, this was the instrumentality to enact the slavery. And the first thing you do to your slaves is you take away all their wealth. Well, if you've taken away all their wealth, then you've really taken away all their rights, haven't you? And remember, what else was instituted in 1933? Oh, that's right. Birth certificates. Because they're going to claim all future generations. It's not enough that all the people that were alive in 1933, which fell under this proclamation, if they dared to call themselves American. Oh, no, 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 that's not enough. They are telling us that they own your children, your progeny, your future generations are their property. And the way they're going to keep it in check, the way they're going to keep a record of it, birth certificates. That's right, people. Because those children, they're not yours. They belong to your slave owner. And he can sell them off at will. Or throw them in jail. Or force them into the military. Go fight for those international Zionist Jew bankers. You bet. Because you're a slave and you have no say in the subject. You see, this is where it extends. All from that tax code. And remember, right there in the IRS tax code, one of the first things it says about it is, well, it's voluntary. Really? So that means if I just decide without filling out any of those fancy forms that Kate always talks about, and she's doing it right because that's their loophole. This is how people who are in the know get out of the system. Remember, whenever they create these systems of slavery, they always create a back door for the elite to exit out of the system legally. Now, they don't want you to know about that, but they always give themselves a safe passage out. What Katie has discovered, what Hendrickson has discovered, is what was that corridor out? Well, that's why they don't like people knowing about it. It's not supposed to be for us peasants, us coolies, spicks, chinks, niggers, white trash. No, we're supposed to be the slave population, and you're not supposed to know about that exit corridor out the back. So now they instituted the legal framework in 1867 with the 14th Amendment, but now by 1933, after they crashed the country, stolen all the wealth, well, the fact that they stole the wealth of the country wasn't enough for them. No, you as the producers, that was the real wealth. They understood that, that no matter how much of the gold that was in existence at that time, which was estimated to be about something in the neighborhood of 24,000 or 27,000 tons. I don't remember the exact number. So it was something like that, 25,000. It could have been a little higher, a little lower. But it was in the thousands of tons. That wasn't enough for them. Now, you would think, to the average mind, stealing, say, 20 or 25 or 30,000 tons of gold might be pretty good for a day's work. No. These people, they're not just nation stealers. They're not just wealth of nation stealers. They are generational stealers, country stealers, future population stealers. They steal anything and everything, even if it is nailed down. And that's what the birth certificates were all about, so that they can enslave all those people who weren't even born yet. Now you think about the genius of this system and how they got away with it. I mean, this didn't come around by just one night of thinking. It's not like they pulled up a bottle of cognac on, let's see, Executive Order 6102, the Emergency Banking Act of March 9th, 1933. It's not like they sat around on, say, March 8th of 1933 and just thought this all through and came up with it in a single night. No. They'd been thinking about this for weeks, months, years, decades. And in fact, for some of these families, like the Rothschilds, it's generational, and the thinking goes back for centuries. That's why it's pretty brilliant. They've put a lot of thought and time and effort into it. And they know what works, and they know what doesn't work. They get rid of what doesn't work, and they stay with what does work. It's a pretty simple formula, actually. Some of it's trial and error. Some of it, they throw out these little pings, these little test plates, these little beta tests, and they see how the public reacts to it. Other times, they just ramrod legislation through. You know, like the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. That was a good example of ramrodding legislation through. This is how you enslave a nation. This is how you enslave populations. This is how you enslave people who aren't even born yet. And this all falls back to one of their main mechanisms here, this tax code that we keep talking about. Now remember, they've got a lot of instrumentalities, a lot of methods, a lot of mechanism by which they extract wealth from their slaves and maintain control. The tax code, the tax system, is simply one of them. It's an important one, though, because it gives them the air, the authority, as they like to present it, to know everything about your life. Because they can't control you if you have certain areas of privacy by which you can hide your activities, and especially your wealth. Especially the wealth. That's what they're concerned with. But it's not enough to control the wealth. They want to control what you can do, what you can say, how you look. What's allowable, what's not allowable? Even though we had something called the Bill of Rights, which guaranteed us an extreme amount of freedom, because that's what freedom is, that's not good enough for them. It's not good enough that you can have a free people, that they can still get away with extracting their wealth. No, they get beyond that. It doesn't satisfy their lust, their craving for power. The fact is, they've already stolen all the gold of the world. It's not enough. They were already controlling all the major industries of the world. It's not enough. They want to control the people down to their daily activities. They want to know when you're brushing your teeth, And you've seen, and then we got the article up on our site. And I've told you this was coming over in Disney World. Well, hell, now they give you the RFID bracelets. So now they can tell how long you've been sitting on the toilet. Oh, and if you think you're just going to walk in Disney World, welcome to a TSA-style pat-down now. Because you can't even go to an effing amusement park without them knowing exactly what you're carrying on your person. This is a state of slavery, people. It's not like slavery. It's not gonna be slavery. It is slavery. Full-blown slavery. In fact, there are people walking around with their little GPS ankle bracelets on. Well, that's slavery, isn't it? Oh, but they did something bad. Yeah, a lot of times they actually just did something the Communist Party didn't approve of. Not because it was illegal against the Bill of Rights, but because the Communist Party said, that's bad, you bad slave. You have to wear GPS bracelet on ankle now. Bad slave, bad. Smell what you did. You need to be good slaves. Set good example for other slaves. This is the way you're supposed to think, people. That's part of being a slave owner. You have to keep your slaves intimidated. You have to keep them afraid. You have to keep them where they will willingly acquiesce. You know, cooperate. Because when you have a cooperative society, you have a society that's easily maintained, easy to keep in bondage. That's what slavery is all about. Now let's talk about the slave control mechanism here again. We're going to get back to the instrumentality. Washington, D.C. And if you go over to Comipedia, there's a little bit of insight here. Now remember, Washington, D.C., called the District of Columbia, was commonly referred to as Washington, or the District, and is simply referred to as Washington, D.C. now. The signing of the Residence Act on July 16, 1790, approved the creation of a capital district, located along the Potomac River on the country's east coast. The U.S. Constitution provided for a federal district under, now here it comes, people, under the exclusive jurisdiction of the Congress, and the district is therefore not part of any state. Now, here is where the smoke and mirrors comes in. Here's where it gets a little hazy for some people, even though it's right there staring you in the face. The U.S. Constitution provided for a federal district under the exclusive jurisdiction of the Congress. Notice what it says, jurisdiction. That means it has its own type of law, its own kind of court system. What kind of laws? Oh, what's the kind of law system they want to use? The law system of commercial code, also known as the UCC or Admiralty Code, also called Vice Admiralty Code sometimes. Now, what is this? When you're under Admiralty Code, you're under military jurisdiction. If you're under military jurisdiction and you have an exclusive zone, what is that called? It's a military citadel. That's what a military citadel is. That's how they operate. And what did they do? As Henry has pointed out, well, through the use of these military bases and post offices, which are under federal control, they were able to extend their reach into every state. And they got outside the Pandora's box of 10 square miles. And they brought their admiralty law with it. Well, under admiralty law, we are property. And to prove we're property, we've been issued birth certificates. And because we have birth certificates and we're under admiralty law, you're a slave. Period. This is why you have to pay your income taxes or you find an M16 muzzle shoved up your nose, even though voluntary taxes are, supposed to be voluntary, meaning you can pay them or not pay them at your discretion. Well, not when you have an enemy force and occupation, people. Let's read just a little bit more about this. Now, what's interesting is you go to the right-hand side of this, it gives you just a quick timetable of the Washington, D.C. area. Number one, it was approved in 1790. It was organized by 1801, consolidated, I'm guessing that means incorporated, by 1871, and I like this one, granted limited self-government. 1973. Now, did you know about that little ditty right there? Granted limited self-government. Well, that sounds like slave owners wanting to do what slave owners want. They have their own rules. You know, the rules that they put out there for us. Oh, that's not for them. That's for the slaves. You know, the rules of occupation. Because if we had the Bill of Rights existing everywhere in this country, they couldn't have a granted limited form of self-government. They would be beholding, just like the rest of us, under the Bill of Rights. So what did they do? Well, they simply extended the law of admiralty or commercial code across the country. That is, they brought admiralty law on land through the military citadel and then applied it across the country and then just simply ignored the fact that the Bill of Rights is supposed to be our superior jurisdiction of this country, and they're using their granted limited self-government. Well, they've extended that to us, too. Notice how things like Obamacare gets passed. That's a version of their limited self-government being extended to us because they can declare that we are required, mandated, to buy their commie form of health care, but they exempted themselves from it. This is all your indicators of slavery, people. We live in a modern-day slave state. Now, we live a little bit better than the average slave does, but you're still a goddamn slave. Anyway, I hope that clears it up a little bit. I do see we've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our bottom-of-the-hour slave break, and we'll be back right after I go out to the fields there, shuck some corn, and cut some nubs from the grass there so I can turn mud into bricks by stomping the grass stubs into the mud. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsors. Henry? If you please.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Let me tell you something. No, I don't want to get you uptight. But if you hit a corner and you can't find no way
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report on the Word from the Trenches. And our site is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast, and if you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. That donate button. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am the host for the Tactical Report, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:37 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:37 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was a little bit of Nazareth with Expect No Mercy. Is that Nazareth? Yeah, I think that was Nazareth. Forgot. All right, just before we go on the break, let's talk a little bit about Washington, D.C. and this military citadel and how they use this as the landing point, the beachhead, to bring Admiralty, commercial code, onto the land. Now, remember, in Admiralty, there's something called letters of marque. And that's where these pirates became privateers. This is where you can hire mercenaries on the sea. That's what a privateer is. It's a someone who operates on the sea, and then they steal from other people, other countries, other ships, in the name of the government that gave them the letter of marque. Well, we have the equivalent here on land, because when you bring it on land, well, you can't call them privateers. You can't call them seamen because they're not on sea anymore. No, what do we call them? We call them cops. And what's their letter of marque to let you know that they are now privateers for the corporations that hired them? Oh, that's right. That's what that badge is. And that is why they're the ones that come over and put that muzzle of the M16 up your nose when you don't pay your voluntary taxes. Anyway, that's it for me. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to turn this over to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Outstanding report as always. And that word voluntary, I don't think that word means what people think it means.
I guess not. Especially to the people that it's supposed to apply to. Their attitude towards the word voluntary is, well, yes, it says voluntary. That means you have to do it.
We were talking about the spread of the control, you know. But with the first place, you know, the military bases they set up across the country, that was where any federal action, I mean, even when the territories, when they had territorial governors and they were operating under the federal admiralty, it was a territorial court, and it was understood that that was a, you know, that's where they started this shit of seeping it out. And now you look around you, you go, that there's a federal court sitting there. Where, that isn't a military base. That isn't a post office. That is a big building with pillars where they're claiming authority over everyone's lives and everyone's property. And go back and find the authorization for that for me, if anyone would, please. You talked about the confiscation of the gold, and here it is. I mean, this is where the people should, I mean, this is where they absolutely should have stood. If they'd understood, what, I mean, maybe they understood, maybe they didn't understand the ninth article to our Bill of Rights. But they say, what did you call it? Some kind of the Emergency Banking Act. You mentioned, John.
Yes, that's Executive Order 6102, which led to the Emergency Banking Act of March 9th, 1933.
Where were the people? Where was the person who said, where is the authority for that?
I mean, somebody had to question it somewhere, because how do you announce to a nation, oh, by the way, peons, coolies, none of you can hold gold anymore. Not even the gold certificates, Henry. And that's just the paper claim to some gold somewhere. They weren't even allowed to keep the paper gold.
That's when the occupation declared that you owned no property. If you can, I mean, if they can come take your gold, I mean, if that's a, it's not, they're not, they didn't file a claim against you in the common law court, number one, because they didn't have jurisdiction. They could not. They're the government. They, like you said, they're under the jurisdiction of Congress, the admiralty jurisdiction of Congress in that 10-mile square. How are they, you know, up in Montana telling you they want your gold? Where does that, how did that authority get to Montana, people? And if that authority did exist, where did it come from? And not to mention that it's forbidden by the ninth article. It says that no such authority could ever exist to come take my gold, my privately owned gold away from me, except through a due process of the law described in the Bill of Rights. starting with a claim to my gold. And it would have to be for a damage. Nobody could just walk up to me. I mean, try that one in a common law court. He's got gold. I want his gold. I'm going to go file my my claim. I'm filing this notice to the court that I'm suing this person for their gold. And you know, somewhere in there you have to put your grievance. Why are you entitled to this? Well, I want it. I want it. Under what? Well, I'm a government agent. What? Hang them right there. What are you doing in here? What are you doing in a common law court? Well, you can't be. You had to create your own courts to do this in that were forbidden. That's all keeps coming back around to the ninth article, people. That's why it was put in.
I love this. You know, I didn't realize this until I was just reading this. Congress and Washington, D.C. granted itself limited, and I'm sure it's not very limited, but self-government. Wait a minute. Didn't we have something that actually restrained, confined, held down this monster called government, and that was called the Constitution? But yet they turn around 1973 and they just grant themselves the ability to govern themselves?
Well, wouldn't that
be an admiralty right there?
Well, what we've seen happen, John, is that which was the people's and that which was the government's have been flipped on their heads. Now they are actually, I mean, it's just like we're watching with these illegals. I was watching some earlier on the idiot box. And you got the best lawyers that your tax money can buy stepping up to defend this goddamn invasion. And they can't hold people without warrants, these people from other countries who have absolutely committed a felony. It's an invasion. They could be shot. But you can't know. They have a right to a warrant. They can come in your goddamn house. Oh, I smelt marijuana from the street. I think I smelt some marijuana, so we kicked the fucking door in. Killed the dog, killed the kid. Oops, there wasn't no weed, but hey, man, our intent was right. And we were in fear for our lives.
Well, Henry, that they'll just exercise Section 1021 or 1022 under the 2016 NDAA, which says they don't have to tell you why they're arresting you, nor are they required to actually have a time period that they're required to release you in.
And I guess that's their final equation, is that we are under war powers. I heard Don Boettcher this morning saying he would like to support Trump in some of the things he's doing. I heard it. And, of course, it was on the micro effect where they do not want no voices of dissent. They do not want the truth. Or I would have called in and I would ask Don straight up. You do understand what the War Powers Act is, right? You do understand that our common law courts, our jurisdiction to exercise our rights have been removed. And we have been put under martial law via that document. And you support that to any degree? Oh, I like certain parts of this tyranny. I like certain parts of this dictatorship. It's going to put money in my pocket, and it's going to force my religion on other people. So I got to support those certain parts of that treason. That's not how it works, people. I mean, the farther we go into this fight, I mean, people are looking for excuses not to fight. Especially, you know, Trump, every time he comes up, man, It's inauguration day again. His whole speech is about, I got 306 electoral votes. I mean, just like trying to sell us on the fact that he sold us on his bullshit. Yeah, I tell you what, Donald, goddamn right, man. You got about 70% of the vote, which was 30% of the population. So you got 70% of 30%. That's all the control you have. And that's what they know. That's what they're coming up against. We hate the communists. No doubt about it, but hell, they're the same. It's just a different side of the same coin. It's about control. About 25% of the population has, you know, they're worthless. They shouldn't be in this country. We should have kicked them out of here a long time ago, but the rest of us, I mean, that's why we are doing this dance around the ring, looking for that punch, because we're dancing around the goddamn retards. They accept their servitude. And so they're accepting it for you too. I'm going to accept the servitude for us too, okay, me and you? You cowardly piece of shit. The confiscation of the gold. That is when they can't, when they, if they can write down on a piece of paper and take your goddamn property. I mean, they can arbitrarily come, I mean, just like this goddamn asset forfeiture. If they can just come and take your property on a whim, did you ever own it? Do you own it? You never did. Nobody's owned shit in my lifetime. They think that they, I mean, they have a titled interest in the elite have titled interests in things. But it's at the top, man. I mean, you talked about it, John, the facility right down there by where you live, where all the titles to all the land and all the property are held. And they're not ours, are they, John?
No, you're talking about the DTCC Vault, Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation there on 55 Water Street, New York, New York, 10041, sublevel 3 and 4.
Absolutely. And I heard Trump, you know, boasting. I mean, all the business, all the corporation leaders, he had him a big speech to him today, man. Yeah, we're going to run this goddamn. We got the White House finally. We got what we told we could never have, and that is control of the goddamn government and the people. Illegitimate control, but control nonetheless. And like I said, oh, it's everything's just wonderful. That stock market's shooting up. John, did you make a whole lot of money in that big stock market?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. What I see in my world is higher gas prices, higher food prices, and the tyranny just ticking up, day by day. Neighbors push back after Hearst police Hoover drone over backyard without warning. And well, let's go into this a little bit. This is from NBC. It was sent in by Kentucky for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Neighbors in Hearst, Texas, you know, Texas, where they just don't take shit, are now pushing back. Oh, they're pushing back, John. After a police drone hovered over one backyard without warning. Oh, if they'd have warned you and told you they're going to do it, I guess you just, well, you take it, don't you? Bobby Sanchez said the feeling of privacy disappeared when her child said, Mommy, there's a drone over our roof. Sanchez said it was a hovering. It was hovering long enough for her to take photos and then call for help. They're watching my children play in the backyard. Well, they're selecting their next victims for their, you know, for their pedophile rings. Maybe that would be a good use for drones that we pay for now, wouldn't it? Take photos. They're watching my children play in the backyard, said Sanchez. I called the Hearst Police Department and was pretty surprised to hear that it was them. No, not an illegal police agency legally invading your privacy, ultimately from a federal authority that cannot exist, that they're claiming exists in spite of the Ninth Article to your Bill of Rights that says it can exist. Hearst Police and Fire started using drones earlier this year, but they're never going to use them on us. Oh, they're weaponizing someone, but that's just for bad people. Don't you worry about it. You're good people. Do you pay your taxes? The day they found Sanchez's yard, they say it was a training exercise. It was a training exercise. So I guess if she'd have went out there and enforced her goddamn rights with a shotgun and blowed that son of a bitch out of the sky, then they could come there and kill her for damaging their property over her property that was invading her property without warrant. And remember, if you're going to take a felon from another country, an invader from another country, and actually try to deport, you better get a warrant. But you can't get a warrant because you know what? They'll demand. Because these people don't work for the government. These foreigners invading your country, they don't work for the government. They're not in the military. So you're going to have to get a warrant for them. And you know what? You can't get one because the courts have been removed. The courts for true warrants, but they just type in some shit on a computer. I have this warrant, computer generated warrant, and I'm going to just look right up your ass if I do please to. All turned around, ass backwards, 180 degrees, people. The very mechanism that was put in place to guard your freedoms and liberties has been turned 180 degrees to take those freedom and liberties away. It's bizarro world. Up is down. Left is right. Black is white.
And remember, Henry, we've had articles about this, that, well, if you shoot a police dog, well, that's the same as shooting a cop. Well, if you shoot one of those ground drones, you know, that they use to send in there when they think mm-hmm. there's a bomb there, mm-hmm. and you shoot at that, well, that's the same as shooting it as a cop. So, Henry, shooting at one of these drones hovering up there in the air, that's going to be the same as shooting as a cop, guaranteed.
Oh absolutely. The next thing that'll come will be a helicopter with an M50 on it. Tear your whole house down. The bottom line is, people, I mean, we're at this extent, and then people are talking about, you know, well, if you try not to pay taxes, they're going to come and get you. Well, hell yeah, they are. They're going to come and get you anyhow. They're coming. Everybody's a target, unless you're one of them. And in the end, they'll be targets to each other because these people know no limits. That's why you had the Masonic Dirty Church cabal step up in the way it has to try to seize power back away from the international communists. Because they found out something. You know, I heard Gorky talking about, you know, the EPA and, you know, one of the examples he used was, you know, your field, because it's an extra water year, man, it's got water standing in it. So, oh, man, that we're declaring that a wildlife refuge. You can't plow that field. You can't do it. But you know what? It was those very frickin' ranchers and farmers that this that brought in the EPA. They wanted it because they wanted to control all of the public lands. They wanted to control everything and keep it from the rest of us. So they brought in the international communist agencies, and these are foreign agencies brought into this country. But then they turned on them. Being communists, that's what they do. And then they seen, God damn, they found out what international communism's all about. They're taking everything, including yours, Mr. Billionaire, because that belongs to the people of the world, and our committee's going to control it. That's called communism. So now they turn around and, just like talking about that field full of water, the same son of a bitches, they had land that was worthless, like, swampy land, you know, with tulies and shit on it, that was a part of their properties. And when they brought the EPA in, see, they're greasing their own slides. They get a big check every month for their wildlife sanctuary they have on their ranch. That's why they set the precedence for them to call the other field. The water flooded into that field. That's now preserved, too, because you set the precedence. I mean, Mark wants to defend them. But they are the ones, they are the fathers of this shit. And now it's come back. And it was all right when it was fucking just a little guy. But now it's come after them. Now it's, what are you doing? I mean, you created it, asshole, didn't you? I watched you do it. You wanted control over me. So you sacrificed my rights thinking that my rights weren't your rights, you dumbass. And now you're finding out, woo, everybody's rights are everybody else's rights. That's why I've always defended anybody's rights. Because
Henry,
I know.
Is this like an arsonist finding out it wasn't a good idea to set the house on fire while he's in it?
Yeah, you should have got outside first. But there is no getting outside. And this is why you've seen this push. I have another article here, you know, talking about the fact that the Koch brothers are in this up to their neck. But, you know, they went back. When they disappear like that out of sight, you know the money's pumping in. And that's, I mean, this is who's behind this Trump bullshit. And you think, you'll say jobs every once in a while, and that's all you need, you dumbasses, ain't it? You 25% of retards in this country. They say jobs. I'm voting for him. I'm going up and voting with my right.
Well, Henry, it's a Pavlovian response. He said jobs. I got to go vote somewhere.
Exactly. They've been, I mean, trained like dogs. But, I mean, just to step back, at the time when you're taking this into consideration, your whole country's already taken over, and it's shown to you every day. Your people are being murdered on the goddamn streets by a police force that can't exist if your freedom and liberty and your Bill of Rights and your common law exists. So they must be removed. Somebody thinks that, oh, they violated my right. I mean, this is how freaking dumb this 25% is. I got a good lawyer. You ain't getting away with that. Oh, yeah? Who do you think built this apparatus, you dumbass? The lawyers. The so-called lawyers. The twisters. That were never supposed to be. They can't operate in our courts either. They can't operate in a common law jurisdiction because it is a profession, it's licensed, and it's licensed by the bar, which is 501c3, which makes it, every one of them, a government agent that cannot operate in the common law. That's why it had to be taken, that's why the first act of this occupation was to remove our courts and our jurisdiction so that we couldn't take care of our own business. So we were relied upon the lawyers to try to go into a foreign jurisdiction. You might as well be going down to Mexico, filing a paper in Mexico for your rights up here. That's how foreign it is to the corporate administrative admiralty jurisdiction. They talk about jurisdiction like it's court and it covers this area. No, jurisdiction in the common law is carried in every man and woman that is a free person. You carry it with you. That's why you can walk right up to somebody and say, I arrest you. You put your arm on their goddamn shoulder. And this was done for a while. I mean, I know people that did it. Back when our people were being killed for trying to enforce our goddamn rights. You have the power to citizen arrest. You know, they always made a big joke of it on Andy with the Gomer Powell. Citizen's arrest! No, that's very real. The only person that can arrest you is a goddamn citizen, people. Even if the sheriff, if there's a problem like you file a criminal complaint against somebody in the common law, you're going there to do the arresting. You're doing it. It's your jurisdiction. And you have jurisdiction right there on the spot because you have the power to reach up and touch that shoulder and say, you're under arrest. I'm arresting you. I'm taking responsibility for this. If I'm frickin' wrong, then you have recourse to the common law and I can be made to pay for my actions. But I absolutely have the right to arrest. And it only resides in the people to arrest other people. The government can arrest people in the government as part of their government function. They can arrest the military, the government and the military. They can arrest people in the military under the admiralty jurisdiction. They have that authority. They do not have the authority to arrest outside that. And all of these agencies that have been built by both the state and the federal occupation have no authority to arrest as government agents. They cannot. Only the fact that the common law and our courts have been removed. They're not arresting us in the common law. They're arresting us like we fucking belong to them. Like we're property. This is a fact. When they go to a place to seize something, they arrest your property. The seizure's on the side of the road. They're arresting your property, people. With no authority. It's just that they have written it down on peace, but all the property in the United States belongs to them. I mean, you talk about handing your, just like the copper down there in the Arizona National Park that they just handed over to the Queen. See, when they claimed that gold, they claimed, they wrote it down, they own everything. You own nothing. You can hold what you have to hold what they give you the privilege to hold. I see it. TC tried calling in. Oh, I wish you'd have made it in. I would like to have had him up as a part of the discussion because he got the discussion going. Had a problem with his mute. Oh, well, maybe tomorrow he can come up, and if he wants to continue the discussion, we can do it. But the bottom line here, I'm going to just say it right now. If you're going to fight, you can't be talking about, if you take an issue and you're going to fight, you can't, the reason for doing it has to be to correct the wrong. Like Katie said, as a consequence, you're going to get the money that they took from you. Of course, that's what you're supposed to do. Somebody takes something away from you illegally. You're supposed to take it back with the law. But just as a gimmick, that's what it's gotten so many people into trouble. They do it as a gimmick, just like trying to use the Uniform Commercial Code to exercise your rights. It ain't going to work. Wrong jurisdiction. Sorry. And it does come down to one goddamn word. Jurisdiction and one goddamn issue. The 9th article. That being said, we are at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And people, if you're going to fight, you better mean it. And that is the Word from the Trenches.